Thanks, everybody. Thanks for joining. This is the last class. Want to thank just the ministry folks for allowing the teaching ministry to kind of participate in this. It's really been great. Appreciate everybody who's participating and putting all this together. Jeff, Tom, Bobby, folks who've overlooked and gone through our stuff. It's been an honor to kind of really go through it. So with that, I've got a lot to get through tonight. If I go long, show me some grace. I'll try and keep it within the time frame here. So over the last couple of weeks, we did light and darkness, then we did sin and repentance. And as Tom was saying, if you're feeling a little bummed out after sin and repentance, you had another week coming up here. And usually at the end of, light and darkness, sin and repentance, kind of however you do it, you kind of go and you talk with person and see, okay, so where are you, in the light or in the darkness? But again, these studies are really not so much for us to learn how to do with other people, but to deepen our own foundation so that when we do a study, we are firmly grounded and being able to really teach even better, right, when we're trying to help people. So I want to flip that just a little bit. Different question. If you were to die tonight and you met God, and no need to put this in the chat, this is just for you. How confident would you be in that meeting? How confident would you be in that meeting? And what is your confidence based on? So again, if you were to die tonight, and as some people would say, go to heaven, how sure are you that's where you're going? And why are you or are you not sure? We'll come back to that a bit later. Grace and truth. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And so kind of the foundation of what I'm talking about tonight is really about how grace is really such a foundational part of what the Christian life is all about. One person may put it like grace is like the trunk of the tree. That's kind of like a Tom Jones thing there. But I firmly believe it, that it's about grace. It is about grace. And it's so fundamental. And hopefully what we look through, you'll see grace and the cross, hopefully in a little bit different way. And I know in a lot of ways they can be, you can think of them interchangeably, the cross and grace. But it's so important to understand grace. It really is. So grace and the cross of Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. This is from Paul. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So you see that grace and the cross, they're right there. You can't separate them. It's like because of God's grace, then we have the cross, right? It's like the manifestation of God's grace. And there is no separating those two. But it's because of God's grace that we even get to Jesus. That is the fundamental movement right there in grace. Paul goes on in Ephesians, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ." So redemption through his blood shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. But what is it about? It's all included. It's right there. The riches of God's grace. And so we see this, it's a continuous thought. It's a continuous theme that grace gives us the cross, which is lavished and put on us by God. And so how do you get there? Right, that you get grace, the cross, but how do you get there? And it's about faith. Faith, grace, and the cross of Christ. In Ephesians, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who was a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So you got to hear, you believe, and then you act. And he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And this is where I'm telling you, this is where we really get to understand. Okay, so here's the progression. He says, we have peace with God, but you're justified right through faith. So you hear the message, faith, you believe. And he says, through that, through Jesus, now we've gained access by faith into what? Into this grace in which we now stand. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Now the religious world can kind of get this all twisted because they say, okay, well, it's grace and it's grace alone. And that's really, it's saying a lot more than that right here. But we can't turn away from this scripture either. Can't hide it. And I think sometimes it can be a tendency. We don't really want to go there, but it's important to understand. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is true. You can't get saved unless you got faith. And it's only by grace that you're saved. But how do you get access? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. It's through the cross. But it's critical to understand this. Salvation and eternal life come through believing in Jesus. The Greek word for belief is pisteo, and the word for faith is pistis. Almost all scholars emphasize that both words mean more than intellectual belief. They carry with them the idea of trust. Thus, what enables us to receive the grace of God and what justifies us in his sight is our trust in and our reliance on what he has done in Jesus Christ. We repent. We turn away from trusting ourselves and trusting our righteousness and trusting our performance, and we believe. That is, we put our trust in the righteousness of Christ. And this is an excerpt from the book Strong in the Grace by Tom Jones. And let me tell you, it's a small little book, but it changed my world. It really helped me to understand grace and the importance of it. Highly recommended reading, but I'm actually going to be referring to it quite a bit tonight because it's so important to get this right. And so we have it here, and it says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And so again, you see the progression, faith, right? Brothers, what shall we do? They heard the message of Jesus. They understood, they believed it. And they wanted to know, okay, so now what do we do? And so now you get baptized. Why? Because it's all about being united with Christ through the cross and getting your sins forgiven. And so it is this progression. You hear, you believe, you obey. I would suggest that with any approach to studying the Bible with others, that we not only need to give the greatest emphasis to the gospel of God's grace, but we operate with the conviction that every person needs to be taught what it means to trust and rely on this grace, helping every person to understand justification by grace through faith must be a top priority. Again, from Strong in the Grace. Our fellowship with God is created when we from our hearts show both gratitude for and confidence in God's grace and put our trust in him, his sacrificial action taken for us and his plan for our lives. Critical. And I'm kind of using that word a lot because it's so important to get this. Listen to Paul. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. It can be, and it has been used, that people take advantage of this whole concept of grace. And because they focus on just, you know, the grace part, oh, yeah, God has opened up this salvation for us, the forgiveness of my sins, so I can do whatever I want. And then Paul's like, no. No, if you understand grace, it's totally opposite. He says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? He's, by no means. He's like, you've got it backwards. And I can think of so many ways that we can shy away from teaching about grace because we're concerned that people may abuse it. But not if you teach about grace, because if you get the grace piece, this part about sinning is like, no way, no way. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus, by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. See, grace cost a lot. It was a gift, but it was a very expensive gift. And so that's where the cross of Christ then takes its place here, because it's just like, okay, yeah, this grace has been opened up, but look at the cost. You've got to appreciate the cost of what was given to open up this door for us to be able to stand in this grace. And when you understand grace and you couple it with the cross of Christ, you get the full picture. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. It is grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It is grace that teaches us that. If you don't understand grace, you're going to have trouble saying no. That's what this is saying. Why? Because when you get grace, then you get the cross. And that will teach you to say no. And then everything changes. And so teaching about grace and having that foundational understanding and then understanding the cross, that's the win. That is the winning. And so because of that, because of grace and the cost of grace coming through the cross, that everything we do now is based on that. Discipleship is based on that. Everything we do is an outpouring in response to the grace of God as viewed through the cross of Christ Jesus. We do because we are grateful, not to be saved, but because we are saved. We live strong in the grace of God. And John, it says, then they asked him, what must we do to the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe and the one he has sent. That is the work. That's the work. Everything else is just an outpouring of gratitude from where we stand. But believing in Jesus, work at that. Work at that. Because if you work at that, you get grace, you get the cross, you get a whole different life. Look how Paul describes it. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He also says, I became a servant of his gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. See, Paul got it. He got it. He understood, look, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it is because of God's grace that he was given the mission to go preach to the Gentiles. He says, this grace was given me. He saw that his purpose came from God's grace to go preach. See, but that's the same thing for us today, right? It's like we get a chance. That grace has also been afforded to us. Why? Because we now get to go and preach, to share, to reach out. That's part of grace. I don't know if we always see it that way. I know I didn't always see it that way, but that is a part of grace. Discipleship is about grace. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Another version says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. For the longest time, folks, this scripture had me going. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. And I spent about a year and I said, you know what? I'm going to figure this out. And what I came to realize is that I really didn't understand grace. That's why I was having such trouble with this. I had no idea what he meant, be strengthened. Or the version I was reading, be strong in the grace. How do you be strong in the grace? What is he talking about? But I spent about a year just focusing on this and I get it. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Focus on the grace. Why? Because the world, Satan, everybody wants you to focus on everything. It wants to focus on you. You, your mistakes or your pride or your strengths or whatever. But take your eyes off the grace. Right? Because if you focus on grace, it brings you to the cross. You understand the gift and you understand the cost of the gift, and then life changes. And if God was willing to be so gracious to you to give up his son, this is what we talk about, then what won't he give you? And so whatever's going on around you, you got to be strong in it. You got to stay there. But Paul was talking to Timothy about him being a disciple, living out his calling. He says, look, be strong in the grace. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing about the message of grace and salvation through faith in grace that undermines or negates the message of discipleship. We must be careful that we never teach salvation by discipleship. However, we must make it clear that a thankful acceptance of grace must be linked with the heart that desires to be transformed into the image of Christ. Again, Tom Jones, strong in the grace. Listen to what he's saying here. It's important. We must be careful that we never teach salvation by discipleship. So what are we talking about here? you know, when we go through and we've studied the Bible, and it's just like, okay, well, here's, you know, share your faith, you read your Bible, you can do this and you can do that. All good stuff. And then, you know, kind of at the end of the study, you kind of get it in, you're ready to be baptized. The issue with that, though, that can be interpreted as salvation by discipleship. We got to be careful. Got to be careful. Not any of this other stuff is wrong. None of the stuff that we teach is wrong. However, if it's interpreted as, okay, I got to do this to get that, that's a problem. That's a problem. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without repentance. Baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. That's from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's a line we have to be careful of, because if we teach salvation by discipleship, then all of our discipleship becomes performance-based. And when you're performing, you'll feel good. And when you're not performing, you won't feel good. And it's not about that. Not that that stuff is not important, but it's your salvation is not about that. Your salvation is based on grace and your faith. And now what are you doing? It's important. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So I started out with a question. If you died today, how confident are you when you stand before God? We should be extremely confident if you've done it the way God's taught us to do it. You should be confident. You should be strong in the grace. Because everything in the world, and Satan is going to want you to doubt it. But if you get grace, you get the cross of Christ. And you understand discipleship. And when you stand before God, you will be confident. It says here, approach God's throne of grace with confidence.